Commissioners Court for Monday, July 27th, 2026 at 9 a.m. begins here.
This is a meeting of Franklin County Commissioners Court, open meeting on the 27th day of July 2026, 9 a.m. here in Franklin County Courthouse. Mount Rose, start with any case. Got to lose some water.
Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. Just thank you, Lord, for the day, for the gift of another day of life. Thank you, Lord, for our state we live in, this county, Lord, and all the people we get to do life with, all of our friends and neighbors. Lord, we're very thankful. We pray for this, our country. We pray for our state. We pray for this county. We pray that you bless this court this morning. Lord God, we consider the things that are before us, help us to make the right choices and decisions, and everything we talk about and decisions we make. We pray for all of our county employees, Lord, our first responders working on the street. We pray that you keep them safe. We just continue to pray for our troops that are in harm's way all across this world, Lord, the things going on in the Middle East. Pray for resolution of that conflict as well. Pray for Israel, all of our friends and allies there. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. You know, we just ask that you be with us and guide and direct our paths. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. American flag first.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. Alrighty, do we have any public comments now? Jackie wanted to speak, but she wanted to speak on the groundwater, so if you want to wait till the end, Cole's here to talk to us about that. So, and you're here, and you want to talk.
Just for a second.
Okay.
You ready for me?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay.
This is a potential new subdivision. I met with Paul Banks last week, and he gave me a little sketch here. This is kind of our first informal meeting, which is our policy now to meet with the commissioners and me to find out if it's going to work. This is at the corner of 4315 and 4335. That little square area right there. This is, I think that's 4340. I don't remember which one that was. All of these lots are 2 acres plus. There's not going to be any roads or anything in the middle of it. I've already talked to them about what septic they're going to try to do. But this is just our first little informal thing. We'll meet with him again, Scott and I, maybe study if he wants to, about what his plans are. But I'll just give y'all an update.
Okay.
He's ready to move forward on it. So, Paul Banks.
Oh, Paul.
Okay. Paul Banks?
I didn't know him.
Anyway, you can have these copies and we'll look at that later. That's all I have for the public.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right, we'll get to it. If we get...
I'd like to invite everybody to the public meeting on the 25th. We're having guest speakers on the Islamic movement in the Northeast Texas. I'd like to get everybody out there.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, number one, consider take action to approve minutes from July 13, 2026 regular meeting. We had one that time, we had 23.
We'll have this meeting next time, six again.
All right.
Second.
Got a motion second, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have number two. All the claims against the county and authorize their payments.
The amount submitted for your approval is $266,516.73.
Okay, any questions? Motions?
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Ayes have it. Number three, monthly reports.
June 2026 month in report. County attorney, $15. Constable, $1,096. Tax assessor, $1,979.66. Property taxes, $62,486.08. County clerk, $21,074.44. District clerk, $8,904.50. Justice of the peace, $20,493.30. Sheriff's office, commissary, $8,888. Treasurer's second quarter fees, $4,040.17. Library, $827.05. Interest earned, 3.67%, $32,721.24.
Okay, any questions over that? We have motion to approve those.
Take a motion to second, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number four, consider and take action to approve the order of election for November 3rd, 2026 general elections. Yes, he's here?
Yes.
Oh, right here in front of me. Anything on that? Just need to get it approved. Okay.
I move to approve the order for elections.
Second.
Okay, got a motion to second, any discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed, the ayes have it. Number five, consider to take action to approve order of appointment for election judges and alternate judges for a one-year term, 8/26 through 8/27. And that's you. Would you like to say anything about that? Well,
no, sir.
Okay. Hold on, let me just do the one. All right, motion on that?
Should it be forward?
Oh, it is. Okay. You're right.
Number five.
Number five made a motion. I'm sorry. The next one's a court.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Made a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion to second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. We got to get all y'all to sign this one. Start down on one and move it first. Okay, number six is record designation of deputy early voting clerks pursuant to section 83.032 Texas Elections Code, and that is so recorded. Number seven, consider and take action to approve interlocal cooperation agreement between the counties and the cities associated with Operation Lone Star for law enforcement services. You're up, Sheriff.
Gentlemen, good morning. How y'all doing today?
Yeah.
This is a task force that I did speak to Roy Board, Sheriff of Goliad County. He started this, he and Valley Brother County started this down in his area of Goliad due to the amount of immigrants that were ladies that were crossing his county and depositing deceased persons in his county, and just to help with manpower. They didn't have enough officers working for each individual department, so they joined together and started a task force that would allow them to go and work. And also under, there's another House bill or government code chapter 362, law enforcement services provided through corporate municipalities and counties, which allows us to work together and gives our officers authority in joining counties if we're operating under this MOU. I've been watching them down there, but since they started off with about their eight counties, you can see the list of counties that have joined that now. They've got a, of course, where he's at, the Operation Lone Star, and then they've got a West Texas Operation Lone Star Park, Central Texas. And I've been visiting with him about, not so much as the illegal immigrants that are coming up through this area, but there's a lot of contraband that's being sent up and down the interstate. Illegal cigarettes, produce, and just that are being shipped all over to this area and throughout the United States, and it's coming right up this corridor. So I called a meeting with all the sheriffs in this area, Hopkins County, Franklin County, Morris County, Titus County, Bowie County, Wood County, and we all have been having some meetings, and then when we were in Dallas Hill or Fort Worth the other day for the sheriff conference, we had another meeting with the Sheriff Boyd, and we asked to join along with beside them in this Operation Lone Star Task Force. This task force does not obligate us financially in any way. Unlike the old task forces, everybody had to put up some money or put up personnel. This is help if you can. If you can't, we'll catch you next time. But also, if we had a tornado, if we had a disaster here, and I needed some help here, I could call any one of these agencies. They would come here, and they don't operate under their sheriff's policies. They would operate under ours, but their liabilities would fall back onto them if anybody was hurt or injured or anything like that. If it's their workman's comp, it'd be expensed to their county, not ours. I'll kind of leave it at that right now unless you have some questions. I don't know. The biggest part is there's not any financial obligation between us and them. If there is a, under Chapter 59, if there is a drug seizure, back in the, under the way the task force have operated, those proceeds were divided amongst everyone that was in the task force. And then that always caused, as the judge may know, it caused a lot of bad blood and things. But if there is a seizure on this here in Chapter 59, it would only be between the two agencies that were involved, or three agencies, or however how many they were. And then that would be worked out amongst the sheriffs and prior to any disbursements. And then say if we did the seizure here, the seizure would come to me, and then after our agreement, then I would write disbursements out to each agency that was involved. But after the DA took his percentage.
Which is what, 20% still?
Yeah, 30, I think, yeah, we're about 30, yeah. It's been so long since we filed anything with him. I'm not sure, but I think it's maybe up to 30 now. But I know some of you, I think the judge and Sheriff Commissioner Smith are probably familiar with task forces. I don't know some of the others, but if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But,
when they go out, how long do they, where are they normally going? If they go help somebody, is it 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks?
Depending on how long that sheriff may need them, or police department may need them, or as long as I can do without them. I don't really plan on sending them anywhere. This is more or less for us in this area, in this geographical area, to do some work in this area that we see coming. I've been, there's a lot of drug cartels in this area that a lot of folks don't know about. And there's a lot of narcotics that move through this area. And we're wanting to try to put a hurt on them and try to cut some of their funding and being able to move so freely through Northeast Texas. I'll just be honest with you. Methamphetamines is coming across the border like crazy. We want to try to slow them down in this area, and all the sheriffs, that's why we had our first meeting the other day, and everybody was ready to get on board that day. We had to wait until we got our names added to the task force, the MOU. But it's something that we've needed to do in this area for a long time. And it's not primarily, like I said, this was kind of done just for the stop of immigration issues, but we'll still be able to do some of that, but that's not our purpose, and it's not going to change the way that we operate toward the 287. We're going to continue doing what we normally do. If we find someone that's illegal, we can contact ICE and see if they want a detainer put on them, and let them come get them. It's not going to change how I do my daily operations there.
We do have a resolution that's right there in front of you. And I'm not going to read all that up there, all the counties, because there's a bunch of them. Looks like half the state.
There's a bunch now.
Yeah. There's 72, isn't there? 72. Yeah. And I'll go ahead and just read the shortest part of here if I can get my throat clear. So where it pursuant to the provision of Texas Local Government Code, Chapter 362, Law Enforcement Services, provided through cooperation of municipalities, counties, and certain other local governments, the county may pursuant to the orders of resolution of its governing body, form a mutual interlocal agency to assist criminal and narcotic investigation and law enforcement, whereas the pursuant to the provisions of Texas Local Government Code, Chapter 791, a local government body may contact or agree with one or more local government bodies to perform governmental functions in which contracting parties are mutually interested, whereas pursuant to the provision of Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, Chapter 59, forfeiture and contraband, the prosecutor with felony jurisdiction in the county where a forfeiture proceeding is held under the chapter may enter into an agreement with law enforcement agencies involved in the seizure of illegal contraband for the disposition of forfeited assets. And then we got the whereas, and you got all those agencies below there. There's, like I said, there's 72. And then whereas this agreement states the purpose, terms, rights, objective, duties, and responsibilities of the parties in agreement. Now therefore, for the consideration of premises of the mutual promises, covenants, and agreements set forth in the agreement of the parties entered into this agreement under the following terms and conditions, definitions, you can read, obviously read the definitions of what law enforcement agency, law enforcement officer, the lead agency, active participation, and the purpose purpose of agreement is the purpose of the agreement created, establishing joint effort between all these counties that you see before you. And number two, it says then to provide additional investigative and arrest authorities to law enforcement officers employed by law enforcement agencies within the jurisdictional limits of the political subdivision that the parties in agreement to provide the payments of expenses incurred in performance of law enforcement activities during this operation. Number three is personnel and equipment. Each law enforcement agency shall assign law enforcement officers or as on a needed requested basis, and shall provide all necessary vehicles and equipment for the law enforcement officers assigned. All personnel assigned will remain the employee of the party making the assignment and shall be considered as employment agents and servants of any other parties to agree with all compensation services law enforcement officers assigned during the enforcement operation shall be paid by the party making the assignment. All supplies and expenses incurred by the law enforcement officer while participating during these enforcement operations shall be paid by the law enforcement agency administrative supervisor. Local agencies of law enforcement action participating agencies shall have sole responsibility for the direction and supervision of the activities of law enforcement officers. Yo, let me keep reading there. I'll just go with the number four, administrators. Number five, talk about the extent of authority. Number six, employee status. Number seven, compensation assigned to law enforcement officers. Number eight, civil liabilities and indemnification. Number nine, disposition of forfeited assets. Number 10, term and agreement of termination. 11, amendment clauses. 12, county judges. Mayor, city manager's authority. Payment. Number 13, payment in current funds. Wait, let me go back to number 12. Just gonna read this one. County judges is authorized to act on behalf of his or her guilty body under this agreement for the expense, purpose, and adding removal of parties to the agreement. Okay, I got that. Number 13, payment in current funds. Number 14, alternate dispute resolution. Number 15, notice. Number 16, construction. Number 17, cashes. My goodness. Number 18, prior agreements. Number 19, authorization of funding. Number 20, law governing. Number 21, severability. Number 23, sign up. 23, effective waivers. 24, exercise of police power. Number 25, warranty. Number 26, immunities not waived. Number 27, no mutual identification. Number 28, effective dates. Whichever dates in this one, that is the agreement on effective date. The last party executed. Number 29, multiple originals. And it talks about all that and only our signatures here. Anybody have any questions over that? Do you want me to go back and read anything? Because we'll be here about 3 hours reading all that.
Okay. Mr. Sheriff, I got one question. Yes, as far as the, obviously, those that don't know about the traffic income up from the from the border, this is the main artery going into Arkansas, which Arkansas leads to Chicago and to the East Coast.
Oh, yes.
So it's a huge artery for drug trafficking. So let's talk about our officers are working in another jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Their policy is, what was that mentioned part about that? We obviously
they're operating under, they're following my policies, okay. but they'll be under the direction. Okay. We're not going to go to another county to start
right
Wild West without a sheriff around.
Okay.
We'll go there at his request and operate.
Still carrying our policies.
Direction, carrying our policies.
And we still have the liabilities.
Yes, we still have the liabilities and stuff, but we're not. Back in the day with the old DPS task forces, they may show up in the county and you're not find about it until the next morning.
Right.
We're not going to go to another sheriff county unless he calls and asks us to go there. It's going to be an organized, we're going to have a plan put in place before we get there. We're going to go over before we start an operation, but we're going to be, if arrests are made, they'll be going to his jail or her jail, and so it's just under that new government code, we have to have this MOU to give the officers authority to act in these other counties because we're not DPS, but this new government code allows us to operate under an MOU, which gives us authority in those counties.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Huh? Let's get a motion first and get this. Don't leave. We'll skip that number nine. Let's
go. Okay. I move to approve the interlocal cooperation agreement with counties and Lone Star Law Enforcement Services.
Okay. Got a motion to second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let's skip number eight and we'll come back to Lisa. Number nine, consider and take action to approve submission to the grant application for the Sheriff's Immigration Law Enforcement Grant Program.
This is FDA. It's a required, all sheriffs are required to put in for what we call the 287G immigration program for one of the three facets of it, warrant service officer, jail officer, and I forget what that one is, which we have done, and we have been accepted by ICE on these 287G programs. But along with that is we're required to submit for this grant also through SBA, and so we're primarily just meeting that state mandated deal that we put in for the grant.
And it's all, this is a shorter one, so this won't be long at all. I'll read this for the record and everything. Law enforcement grant program, whereas the Franklin County Commissioners Court finds in its best interest for the citizens of Franklin County that the Sheriff Immigration Law Enforcement Grant Program be operated for the 2026 fiscal year, and whereas Franklin County Commissioners Court agrees to provide applicable matching funds for said project as required by the Sheriff's Immigration Law Enforcement Grant Program grant application, and whereas Franklin County Commissioners Court agrees in the event of loss or misuse of the Office of Comptroller's funds, Franklin County Commissioners Court assures that the funds will be returned to the Office of Comptroller in full, whereas Franklin County Commissioners Court designates Sheriff Ricky Jones as the guaranteed official, authorized official. The authorized official is given the power and apply for, accept, reject, alter, and terminate the grant on behalf of the applicant agency, whereas Franklin County Commissioners Court designates County Officer Marta White as the grantee's financial officer. The financial officer is given the power to submit financial and or programmatic reports and alter a grant on behalf of the applicant's agency. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Franklin County Commissioners Court approves submission of the grant application, the Sheriff's Immigration Law Enforcement Grant Program to the Office of the Governor.
Is it $80,000?
Yes, ma'am. Just to help defray the cost that we may incur over operating or trying to enforce the 287. Robert's been handling most of this, but he's in Georgia.
Okay. Any questions over any of that? Motion.
Make a motion.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. You pick whichever one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go back to number eight. Y'all fix to put a bunch of stuff in there where I can't read some of that stuff. Y'all gonna get the old boys all shook up here. Number eight, consider and take action to approve Franklin County Library's participation in TSLAC's Texas State Library and Archives Commission Community Literacy Support Program. Lisa's here with Dolly.
Dolly, yes. And several members of the Key Club, Frankie, Pam, Brooke. Anybody I'm in? Okay. What this is a, it's gonna work much like the Water District grants in the past. We're just a pass-through agent. It was approved in the 89th legislature to give funding to help affiliations, which Key Club's already affiliated and has been for a year.
Since January 25.
Yeah. And Dolly's been around town. But this lets folks enroll children 0 to 5 years old to get one free book a month up until they're 5 years old. And they work with families, like if you've got a set of twins, they won't get the same book. So it's a really good program. Will not cost the county anything. Any funds that the state pulls through will go directly to Imagination Station and the Key Club, then will make up the rest through their funds. So just need your approval, and I have document. You get one?
This one?
Yeah, and the signature's on the back.
Oh, make a motion for our sign. Okay, got a motion to second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it.
I didn't have a back. That one doesn't have a back on it. It's a signature. Well, it's the same page.
It doesn't matter?
Yeah. No. I just need a copy of it to send to the state. I'll email it to you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Number 10, consider and take action to approve proposed Franklin County Sheriff's and Constable's fee schedule.
I think there's only one time
for that
at the bottom.
Yeah, I think the only thing.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, the only thing I've added to it was a facility storage fee per day. I think that's put $30 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly whenever I do RIT sequestrations and I've got to go out there and get an RV or a tractor and I have to take possession of it. I've been working with Crowston's and they've been housing it for 10, they have to hold it for 10 days while the other party has a chance to put up a bond and get it back. So it's in my care and control for those 10 days and I would rather keep it at a storage facility that we control instead of relying on Crowston's to keep it protected. Because if something should happen to it at Crowston's, it comes back on me. So I'm thinking if we ever upgrade our fencing and stuff over at the sheriff's office, we can keep it there, or we can keep it over behind the elections office where the maintenance guys. It's pretty secure over there. So I was just kind of looking towards the future. I may get one or two of those a year, so it's not a high importance, but I just wanted to go ahead and build proactive and go ahead and put that fee schedule in there. So, but everything else is exactly the same as it's been the last couple of years.
Who would be responsible for paying that, Brandon? Plaintiff or?
Yes, the plaintiff.
And it would just go along with the judgment?
Yes, I just put in a deal for it. And I usually make all those decisions beforehand so that I make sure the Crowston's got paid before I went out there and collected the tractor and then brush all this last week. So.
Motion.
So moved.
Second. Got a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. The ayes have it. Number 11, consider to take action to approve placing a bronze plaque of the Travis letters on Franklin County Courthouse property. David, you want to tell us about it? You may read this out loud.
Yes, sir.
My Sautel, please, Gail, come. This is the bronze plaque that, and I was wondering. But I think we're the, how many counties are there?
I couldn't get an exact count, but I have to look at the website, but I would imagine 60 to 70.
Okay, I was wondering, I'd heard about this, and I said, David called me the other day, and I said, yeah, let's get this going. This is the plaque that will go, and I'll read it. Unless you want to read it, man.
You go ahead.
Letters from the Alamo, commander of the Alamo, Bexar County. Bexar, February 24th, 1836, to the people of Texas and all Americans in the world, fellow citizens and compatriots, I am blessed. I am besieged by the thousands and more of the Mexicans in Santa Ana. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade and for 24 hours and have not lost a man of the enemy and has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrison here to be put on the sword. If the fort is taken, I have answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly within the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty or patriotism and everything dear to the American charter to come to our aid with all dispatch. The enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. If this call is neglected, I am determined to sustain myself and long possible and die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his own honor and of his country, victory or death. William Bexar Travis, Lieutenant Colonel Commander. P.S. The Lord is on our side. When the enemy appeared in the sight, we had not 3 bushels of corn. We have since found in deserted houses 80 or 90 bushels and got to the walls 20 or 30 heads of beeves.
I guess that's wrong.
Beef, just beeves.
Plural, yes, sir.
All right, David, I'll turn it over to you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you all. Commissioners, thank you for listening to me this morning. This is a project that I witnessed last October at Hopkins County when they dedicated the plat. It is something I think each county needs to do. I brought it up, made presentations before the Genealogical Society, before the Historical Society. BFX and I have talked about it quite a bit. He has promised to do some fund matching for whatever we raise. I've had several other people here in the county that have spoken to me about it and said they want to help, they want to chip in. I think, honestly, we're close to having at least half, if not most of that $5,000 already for the plaque, pretty well pledged. I would like to get not only, obviously, the court, but the court involved in the courthouse, and the judge. I'd like to get you involved in that, sir. And if you go out there to that website and what you have already printed out by Ms. Beth in front of you, it kind of outlines the process we would go about getting that plaque established and brought in. I would like to see it also, just for examples such as this, if you would, Mr. Stanley, take that last slide down. This is an example of why I think this is so important. This plaque, as you probably either have read or will read, was seen by a young seventh grader in San Antonio there in front of the Alamo. And she made the comment, why doesn't everybody, every court or every county have this letter to be seen, to be read? And most of you, especially those of you that have children or grandchildren, you know how woeful our education system, especially about our history, is. I used to teach junior ROTC for 18 years in Greene County. That was 22 miles from the birthplace of David Crockett. And you'd be amazed at how many kids didn't know anything about that, much less about Sam Houston and connection. I lived in Maryville, Tennessee for those 20 years. And I was within 5 miles of the schoolhouse where Houston taught. And still, they don't know that. And they need to know it. I think everybody needs to at least be exposed to that, of what our forefathers went through. But I would like to get the children involved in that. We can have some kind of, as you've seen some of these, a reading essay or a written essay, an awards, first, second, third place awards, to get the high schools involved. I have not spoken to any of the military organizations yet, the veterans organizations. I am a veteran as well. But I wanted to start with this place and hope that we can get this rolling and going. And I will help in any way, shape, or form that I can. As you probably know or may know, Taylor Millard out of Nacogdoches would be this area's representative that we would contact first. And the way it's looking now, they've got, through that whole website, they've got schedules for when plaques are being erected and being having ceremonies, and they invite all kinds of people in, all kinds of speakers, so you would have a big ceremony for something like this that would be recognized across the state. The governor obviously is already on board. He already has his plaque, and they have another award you probably have seen in there, on the Albert Martin Award, Captain Martin Award, that goes along with that. I would expect and like to have, I think I had an example there of a plaque that at the bottom of the plaque and however it's mounted, would also include places there for most of all the commissioners listed, as well as the county judge. And I'll be glad to try to answer any of the other questions that you may or may not answer.
I'll go talk to the American Legion. I know that they give so much. They, you know, have bingo out there, and they give so much towards stuff like this and things. I think they'd probably be very pleased to help. Probably cover the rest of the fund.
I intend to put some in, and I've talked to two or three different people that have pledged enough that word of mouth that we're close to having. And of course, that price keeps going up. Last time I looked at the website, it was $4,700. Now it's $5,000. So the sooner we get on board, the cheaper it'll be.
It's kind of like our elevator.
Yes,
he's already told us. January 1st goes up 35%.
Yes, sir.
It's like everything else. All right, anybody any questions? I think this is an excellent thing for us. I think it's very patriotic to do that. And we appreciate you bringing this up, David.
Thanks, sir.
And David's daddy and my daddy go way back. We went to high school together. I think went to the Air Force together. Did your dad go there?
He did.
Yes.
I was just about to say, I used to sit out in this hallway as a little boy. My grandfather, he was our county commissioner for Precinct 2 for about 27 years.
Oh, wow.
Well, they were cars on Air Force Base for a long time. I think lived together for a while.
That's right. That's kind of where I discovered America.
That's all right. Do you have a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. I'll be contacting some folks. Last but not least, Cole, we have asked my state representative, the one that I call all the time, that'll actually answer the phone, I consider Cole his hometown guy. He was county commissioner in Gilmer in Upshur County for a while. His brother's a highway patrolman that's stationed here, as I was. So we got a lot of connections. He went to church with Larkin. I know that that's not a good thing to say sometimes. South Jefferson?
Yes, sir.
South Jefferson Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant. So I've known Cole a long time. And like I said, there's not a lot of people who answer my phone, but Cole will answer mine nearly every time. He's not my state representative, but he'll answer me every time. And if he doesn't answer me, within 5 minutes, he's calling me back. So I appreciate you doing that. So he wanted to come. I know that Scott wanted to. Cole would come up about 2 weeks ago. He was in Billy County. You would never come up. And we had a couple. We had AJ and Travis come up from Cass County and Camp County, Pittsburgh, come talk to us. But I think they had some more questions about this. And Jackie, do you want to ask questions now? Are you going to let him talk and then ask him?
Well, let's let him talk first.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it over to you, Cole.
Well, thank you, Thank Judge you. And Commissioners. I appreciate y'all allowing me to come talk to you today. My brother's been moved over to Kent County now, and then
my other brother
is Kent County Commissioner.
Yes, that's right.
He likes to rub my nose in the fact that he ran unopposed for an open seat. He got 100% of the votes, he said. So anyway, thank y'all for letting me address an issue that's vitally important to Northeast Texas. We hear a lot of conversation, what's on a lot of people's minds is our surface water and the Marvin Nichols project that's been in the state water plan since the 50s. But what has kind of been flying under the radar that to me is a more immediate threat is the threat to our groundwater, the water that's under our feet. And the way that water law works in Texas is if the water's on the surface, it belongs to the state, according to the statute. And then if it's under the ground, it belongs to whoever the property belongs to. So we're all over the Carrizo Wilcox aquifer. We're all dipping water out of the same bucket. And so any production from that aquifer affects all of us. The thing that we can do, the only thing that we can do to protect that groundwater from an outside source that wants to pump that water out of the ground and then transport it to the big cities is a groundwater conservation district. That is the only tool in the toolbox according to Texas law. Right now, we do have some developers down south of us that have put in some high output wells. There's different ways they transport that. They can pump it into a river that will then carry the water to a lake that has the infrastructure to pump the water, or they can just do a series of pipelines. And if you look at the long range plan for Region C, which is Dallas, there's several dozen wells south of here that are in that long range plan, along with a pipeline that would pipe it either to Dallas or to infrastructure that would pipe it to Dallas. And so what I have been talking to with Farm Bureau and agriculture people and county judges and commissioners around the area that we feel like is the best approach to protecting our water is to have a regional groundwater conservation district. The challenge that we face in Texas, we're a fast growing state. People want to move here. If you want to see a very stark evidence of that, price a U-Haul vehicle from California to Texas and then price that same vehicle from Texas to California. They'll almost pay you to move stuff, you know, to take their truck back to California, but it's really expensive to get one to move here, so everybody's coming here. That's a good thing. That means that we're doing something right, that people want to live here, but it does come with challenges.
Just to let anybody know right there, it's 1,071 on average per day.
Yes, sir.
Moving into the state of Texas.
So people want to come here, and that's, y'all like me, we live in the country for a reason. We like having our elbow room and our freedom out here. But other people, they're wanting a piece of that freedom that we enjoy here in East Texas. And so the growth is mostly, we are growing in rural parts of Texas, but not nearly as fast as we are in the urban parts. And so as they grow, that's where the population is, so that's where the votes in the legislature are. So we have an issue like Marvin Nichols, where we had a bill to put some to stop that project, and couldn't get the bill to the floor, and then we had an amendment that would have removed it from the plan, and we only had 45 votes for us and about 100 against us. And so that was 10 votes better than I expected, and that was bipartisan, Republicans and Democrats on both sides of that vote. So that's where we are in reality. It's a math problem. You have to have 76 votes in the House, 150 members to pass anything, and so we have those rural versus urban areas. That's the challenge that we face. And so the reason we looked at this regional approach, I don't like looking at my phone when I'm talking, but I want to make sure I remember all the good parts of being a regional GCD. One thing, we're stronger together. East Texas, when we join, when we lock arms, we usually punch above our weight. If you look at the influence East Texas has in the legislature, it's more than individual reps you would see in the cities. So we're just stronger together when we team up. When you have a regional district, you have the benefits of the economies of scale, where you're only going to have one executive director. You're not going to have as much staff. You're not going to have those duplicative employees and positions as if you were to have individual GCDs around the area. So you're going to be able to get more out of your money there. You'll have one regional set of rules instead of having different GCDs that have, you know, one has strict rules, one has really lax rules. And so what happens there, if you have a county that has a GCD that has strong rules and one that has weak rules, the producer will just go to the one with the weak rules and he'll just pump the water out from under the other one. And so have that consistency and no gaps. If each county does their own GCD, one does it, one doesn't, they just go where there's not a GCD and pump the water right out from under you. Plus, if you have a small GCD, you don't have the revenue, the resources to fight a billionaire investor that's coming in to take our water. And then when you're larger, you can have the lower fees can be because you're spreading that cost over a large area. And then you'll have less well types that you need to feed in order to create enough revenue to be able to fight the big developers. And so the current idea that we have is that we would not put a fee on any individual wells or any agricultural wells. So it would just be commercial producers. A commercial producer would be a city that gets their water from wells, a water district, a special utility district, that type of thing. In big industry, anything will be considered commercial. The way this is working is there is a water attorney that is an expert in GCDs and water law in Texas, and so the different counties are pooling our resources to hire this law firm to help us through this process, to make sure that the bill is drafted like we want it, and that all of the public notices and all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed as this this bill, it would have to be a bill that I would have to pass as it works through that process to make sure it's like we want it. And so each county would have a representative kind of on a committee that we would consult with as we draft this bill. And then I would file the bill at the appropriate time in the legislature. And then this firm would also help us work that bill through the legislative process and until we get it signed next summer. It's about $1,200 or $1,300 a month per county for a year, so $14,000-$15,000 to stand it up, and that covers from July 1st of this year to June 30th of next year. I believe that's right. That's the year. Some people are, one of the things that I want to be fully transparent on is once the bill is passed, let's go all the way through the process. I'm optimistic that the cities won't team up and kill it. They could if they wanted to because they have the votes, but I don't think they will. We've got pretty good relationships with around the state. The governor is in tune with our needs and everything out here, so we're thinking we're going to have some support on this. But the timeline is once the bill is passed and signed into law next May or June, then you have to get your board of directors appointed, get your deputy director hired, and then get your bylaws written. So you're probably another year before you're actually operating and assessing those fees. So we're a couple of years out. That year from next June, July, to the next year, there will be some cost involved to operate the GCD until the fees begin to come in. And so we are not, by saying yes, you're going to give us, you know, contribute the $1,200 or $1,500 a month to get the bill passed and the GCD created, you're not committing to some unknown number out there to operate the GCD until the fees come in. I'm talking to the Texas Water Development Board about grants and loans. I'm going to be talking to the Appropriations Committee about giving us some money up front to help operate it. We're talking to our COGS, our Council of Governments in the area. They're willing to help if they can, and you can always look at traditional banking if it comes down to it. But that's not part of this commitment. That'll kind of be figured out between now and then. And I'm pretty confident we can figure out how to operate until the fees flow before we get there next summer. So I think that's, there's two ways to fund groundwater conservation districts. It's user fees and a property tax. We will not be assessing a property tax. Since we're not creating a property tax to fund it, a public vote is not required, but we will likely put it on the ballot for the voters, but that's still being, we're still mulling that over to see how to best approach that. But, if created, each county would get a representative on the board of directors. That member cannot be an elected official. According to state laws, that has to be somebody that's not elected. But we're probably going to put some provisions in the law where we have some subject matter experts at least sprinkled into that board. Hydrologists, water drillers, business people that will be equipped and have it, experience in these types of things and lawsuits and stuff. So if you see this, I will tell you as a rural conservative Republican, I don't like more layers of government. It makes me uncomfortable. Just the nature of government, I don't like it. However, we're currently completely exposed with zero protection on somebody coming in and drilling a big well and pumping like crazy. And my cities are concerned, Mineola, Gilmer, Lindale, other cities that operate on water wells, they're concerned because they have their wells are, your house well is usually a 4-inch well, 300-400 feet deep, depending on that. City wells can be 8-12 inches. They're large wells supplying their citizens. And they're concerned that somebody's going to come in with a 24-inch well, 800 feet deep, and a mega pump, and pump their wells dry. Because we know that when you start to pump around a well, the aquifer, the way it flows through the different soils and different makeups of the earth down there, there's what's called a compression zone, where that water kind of, because it's not a river down there, it's kind of working its way through that gravel and dirt. And so there's a compression cone that is formed around each well. And so if you get up close to a city and pump that water out before the water can run in and recharge, then they could see their wells going dry. So there's a real danger here. This is not some tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. There are currently today, high output wells in production a little bit south of here. And so that's the kind of situation we're dealing with.
You know, the number one, there's a lot of questions. I know there's a lot of questions. But if we all did this in one county, let's say Hopkins County, you know, I'm not sure it's going to do this. What good is it for us to do this when they can just go right over and suck it out anyway?
You know, it's the more they do it, the better. Because I'm learning about these aquifers and the way they're charged, and you know, some rivers charge them and they also feed rivers. It's funny, the rivers feed the aquifer, the aquifer feeds the river. There's outcrop areas, so Hopkins County is kind of half in the Carrizo, half out. A lot of it's the outcrop area. Raines County, Van Zandt County is the same. And we've got a map we can show folks. That's 15 county region. It's basically Van Zandt, Smith, Gregg, and Harrison counties, and then north to the Red River. Red River County, oddly, is just out. They mean like a little corner over there, but they're not really in it. And so so that's something we're working through. I'm pretty confident that all the counties are going to come in, because I mean, I just don't see how you, history's not going to look back on us well if we don't protect this resource. And lakes are one thing that rub people the wrong way, but at least I can go out there and I can see it. If it's the level's going down, I can see it. And if it's filling up, I can see it. What's going on with our aquifer, we don't know, other than what water drillers tell us. You know, 10 years ago I was drilling and then the level was this many feet down, and now it's this many feet. And so we don't have any scientific data. We don't know what the flow rate is of our aquifer down there. And so it's scary.
Yeah, and my question number one from the very get-go of this is, why do we have to have groundwater conservation district? Why don't the state of Texas take complete control of this like they do everything else and govern this and pass a law where the Texas, the TCQ or the Water Board.
Yeah.
So well, I don't understand why they don't do it instead of putting it back on us.
Yeah, so over the years, groundwater conservation districts were created in law back in the 40s or 50s, and then they just started kind of popping up. I think the first ones were in the Ogallala out in West Texas. And the political reality is you have a bunch of groundwater conservation districts that like the way they've got it. And when you start talking about that, those representatives from those areas catch pressure, and just the political will is not there. There's been attempts to try to do a more uniform, statewide, some sort of, you know, conservation plan, but it just never does get that traction. And then again, you're going to be fighting the rural versus urban areas. You're going to have that fight, because the urban guys are going to go, hold up a second, you know, my people need water, and y'all got gobs of it. So, you know, and so this is another way that I'm afraid if we don't do something smart and start figuring out how much water we have in East Texas and monetize the excess, that the state is going to come in and take it. And so we have to be proactive to protect that resource and be knowledgeable of what we have. But that's what you bring up a good point there, and it's just sometimes it's just the political reality, the political will just isn't there. Each representative digs in for their area, and so sometimes it's just as simple as that.
I know, like I'll turn this over to them. I kind of do things a little different here. I kind of ask the public. We're small enough.
And I like when I go and speak to public, and I appreciate y'all. I represent, by the way, I just want to say that where I represent my area is Titus County, Camp, Upshur, Wood, Raines, and about 25% of the population in Smith County. So I have Lindale, Hideaway, Winona, and then Gilmer, Emory, all up through here. So when we were redrawing the maps in 2021, I had a map that had Franklin and Hopkins County in with me, because it kind of makes sense. You know, it was a nice little.
I wouldn't go all the way to Sherman.
Yeah, so it was, well, and I'll tell you, the most, I don't want to get off track here, but when you're talking about redistricting Texas, the most highly petty political product is redistricting. It gets,
well, we're getting us back to East Texas instead of Dallas. So
when we're drawing the maps, we drew East Texas and we were drawing West Texas, and we were drawing, because there's rule, you got to have a certain amount of people, your counties have to be complete, and they have to touch each other. And so if you change one, it changes the map of the whole state, and so it's weird. And so we were drawing East Texas, and West Texas guy that we're drawing, and we got up here to Cook County, and we were trying to push Cook to the west, and they were trying to push it to the east. And anyway, then we're like, wait a minute, what happens here? And it was just one of those necessary things to make the math work out.
And I didn't mind, so before, you know, we were with Lamar, Red River, Williams, and Gary, of course. I've known Gary for a long, long time.
And you fit.
And he's one of the little answermen. That's about it. That's about all I've talked about.
Well,
my commission board can answer my phone. Scotty, do you have a question?
Yeah, I got a couple. Thank you for being here, sir.
Yes, sir.
Just disclosure, I was at school last week, and part of the instruction was some blocks of lecture on groundwater districts. So I had a couple, two different general managers that were, they just kind of raised a red flag on the side of what we're doing here. And also be clear, I'm totally for what we're trying to do, protect our water. Just trying to figure out what the best avenue is forward. In other words, I got one person, we got look at all of us over here saying this is the greatest thing, because we got everybody working together, and that can be more cost effective. I'm all for that. But then I have somebody that's actually in the game managing water districts, conservation district down further south. And they're like, well, we really dilute ourselves because of the number of counties that are in it. And their thoughts were, it's almost like get your neighboring counties, put it together like that. And I completely understand how that could be more cost to us, because we're lesser people involved. But they're talking about that, and because basically, as this district gets put together, we would create, that district would create its own rules. But those rules have to adapt to what the groundwater management area is going to eventually tell them their ultimate desired future conditions, right?
So you're
having this district here, we have to make our own rules, but they got to coincide with whatever the overarching groundwater management area has. So what they were telling me is to keep more localized control of it, is because there's certain things, we're all sitting on the same aquifer, but part of the aquifer that's up here is a little bit different than what it is further south.
Sure. I mean, because you're at the top end up here, and they're at the bottom end down there, and so. And then I don't know where all that's, right. I think it's recharged in more areas than just the outcrop area. I've had that conversation with a few people, and I understand that concept. I personally believe that the larger area, the benefits far outweigh, the pros far outweigh the cons. And I just think, for one, you're stronger, and then those economies of scale. And so when you've got a situation like in the Trinity Neches River Valley, mm-hmm. Groundwater Conservation District, it's two or three counties. I think it's Henderson, Cherokee, and Anderson.
Trinity.
Yeah, and so it's, they have three counties, they have weak bylaws, and they have a really, really low fee. And so a developer comes in, starts pumping water, they attempt to beef up their bylaws, they get sued in state district court and federal district court, and they don't have any money.
This is actually one of the agencies I thought of. They dealt with that because of their rules were so weak. Overly. No, they weren't weak. They were super strict, and they eventually got sued because of some of the rules that.
So there's
once they were created.
Right. There's I've heard of a couple of different situations where I've heard of the GCDs that are really weak, and what I mean by weak. You just go in there and you apply for a million, $25, and you'll drill your well. There's nothing to it. There's another GCD in Deep East Texas that a water driller told me he don't even go down there and do business because it's just like pulling teeth. We don't want to be either one of those.
Right.
We want to protect our resource, but we want to let our farmers and our individuals we won't let everybody grow all everything.
All those rules that you're talking about right there, though, with the groundwater conservation district, the size that you're talking about, those rules would never be created until the legislature enacts the fact
that GCD.
The GCD. In other words, those rules would not, and they're not included in the legislation itself. The legislation would be that just establishing the groundwater.
Yeah, district, right? We'll put certain parameters in the legislation.
What would those parameters be?
Well, no property tax. Okay. We're not going to feed agricultural wells. We're not going to feed individual wells. You know, there's going to be, and there may be some other things that come up along the way as we're working with the counties. This is kind of a working, it's a working product. And so, but once that legislation is passed, then the bylaws would work within that, kind of like our governments work within the parameters of the Constitution.
And just a couple other things. You mentioned a while ago that they wouldn't have to have an election for it. That's the other, these other,
it's not required.
Saying it was that no matter what it is, it had to be voted on in the constitutional election next year.
No, I don't think it's required, but there's a good possibility we're going to put it to voters anyway.
Okay.
And so, Senator Perry would prefer that, and it's probably better anyway.
And the other one, the last issue that you brought it up a while ago, it's because we talked about it 2 weeks ago, was the fact that what is that seed money once it's started, and how much are we obligated to keep it, to get it started? And we're saying a while ago it wouldn't be very much staff. But if you got a huge county like me, a lot of staff.
It's going to be, I don't know how much staff it would be. It would be less if it's one district instead of four or five. It would be less staff.
But for a district that size, it'd be less staff. So that's a lot of wells and
stuff. Well, if you have 15 counties and you have five districts of three counties each, and you do a single district, you're not going to have five times, you know what I mean? You're going to be able to run with less staff. And so say you know what I mean? Does that make sense? And so the single districts are going to take more, less employees and less staff than five single districts would. And then what was the other thing?
Just it was about the vote and the staff and
The money to stand it up. So, you know, it's hard to know exactly how much money will come in, what the fees will be if you just do the commercial. The attorney thinks that if we did a 40 or 50 cent per 1,000 gallons, which is about $5 on your average home, $4 to $5 on your average home, 10,000 gallons a month. Some people use more and water the grass and stuff, and some people don't. But, you know, he's thinking it could be $3 to $5 million in fees per year coming into the GCD. And so to stand it up for that first year, $1.5 million, $2 million until the fees start coming in. This is
obviously a lot more affordable with, you know, 12 counties versus three or four. Those are the things we're still trying to figure out here.
If you break it out, you know, you have, especially in your small counties, because we're small counties like Franklin, Camp, Morris, they're going to benefit from the Bowies and the Greggs and the Smiths, because those people are going to pay more rent. And so if we have to fight, if they come into Franklin County and we have to fight them, we're all going to benefit from those resources coming in. And so that's kind of where we're going there. And so on that couple of $1 million up front, like I said, that would be just until the fees start flowing. And I'm looking at all kinds of options and possible resources to
do. You're the chair of the Natural Resources Committee?
No, that's Cody Harris out of Anderson County. Right. But he and I were good friends, and we talk about this weekly.
So one of the questions another point of discussion has come up is about what is the political will like with all, what is the political side of it look like in Austin? Is this thing, if we all jump in this thing, are the big cities going to be able to come in and just trash it on them?
This will be considered this will be considered a local bill. And so, you know, everybody goes, whatever, it's Cole's local bill. This is going to be a little bit bigger than that, because it's because of the hot topic of water. Mm-hmm. It's going to make it a little more sensitive. I still think we're going to be okay. Cody has a lot of respect and good relationships in the Capitol. We do pretty good down there, and so I think with us working together with Senator Perry, Senator Hughes is on board supporting us through this, and we think our chances are good at getting it through the process. But Cody's also looking at reworking the rule of capture and going deeper into water policy in Texas, it's kind of, when they did the rule of capture back in the 115 years ago, you know, we didn't have the things we have today. I don't know that they envisioned that we could put in a high output pumps and pump the water out from somebody a couple of miles away. I don't know that our whoever was drafting the policy knew that. And I'll tell you all this, y'all know this, the Ogallala Aquifer was a prolific aquifer. It covered eight Midwestern states from Nebraska down to Lubbock and provided water for 25% of the United States food crops. And it's going dry. They're rationing water in Amarillo and Lubbock because they're running out of water. And once you pump that aquifer dry and those veins down there close up, it's dead, it's gone. And so there's a real danger here. And so to me, the best approach is the regional approach for the reasons I spelled out. And so that's where we're moving right now. And I just think we're so much stronger together and the resources are so much better. And I don't know that East Texas is gonna be enough different from Tyler to Bowie County or to Franklin County that we're going to get crossways on that. And I want to see if we can have some flexibility in those rules to where, you know, you can kind of adapt to the level of aquifer. Because I know in Wood County, it's closer to the surface of the ground than it is in Smith County to that. But we're also uphill.
And I think we're the same.
Going downhill, you know. So some of that's going to be gravity. Some of it's going to be there's more people down there pulling out of it.
When you say the users, you're not going to charge them, like, we're all surface water. We don't have any city or well water here that our city pulls from.
Right, so if you're city,
are we going to get charged?
No, sir. Okay. Only if you're operating on a well.
Well, yeah.
And so the cities and the water companies mm-hmm. would have to pass that cost on. So there is going to be a little bit of a rub when somebody says, why my bill go up $4 a month or $5 a month? So that'll be on us during the election to help educate people and answer those questions and explain to them that while we don't like more government, this is necessary to protect that resource. And I think most people are going to say, yeah, I did that. 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't be standing here talking about this, but things have changed drastically. Mm-hmm. We have 10 million more people, like you said, 1,500 people a day moving here, and we got lots of water and they want it.
In your professional viewpoint, representing the East, is there any detriment to us being involved with a mega groundwater conservation district? Is there, what are the negatives to it?
I don't know. You know, I hadn't thought about it from that aspect. I can't think of any other than there's going to be a little bit of a blowback if somebody's on commercial wells and there's a fee on it. I've seen some people falsely claim that we're going to try to put wells and have meters on everybody's wells and charge people, and that's just not the case. It will be on those, but they already have meters. They already know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Only point out that one of the big things that jumped out at me 2 weeks ago was the fact that, gosh, trying to get 12 or 14 people on a board come to a consensus, I mean, it's hard to do that on a commissioner's court. Now, we're dealing with five people, you're going to have a board of maybe 12 to 14 people.
When I talk to other, and people are more more experts on this than I am. Cody Harris has been working on water policy as the chair. I chair the Homeland Security Committee, and so we work on much different more law enforcement, border security, and foreign adversaries type of things. And then Charles Perry's been working on all kinds of desal, getting water from Oklahoma and Arkansas. And there's some talks about those states won't sell excess water to us. And so you talk about people that have been in this world. The attorney that set up many of these GCDs through the last 30 or 40 years, they talk about the benefits of this regional area and how it's just going to be so much easier to manage, more resources, lower fees. That's why we're able to say no individuals, no agriculture, keep that fee low, because it's spread over more people. And to me, it's just, there's the one-off chance that some of our small counties go, wait a minute, we don't agree with that. I think it's pretty slim with whatever the bylaws are going to look like. And once the bylaws are set, it kind of it's probably going to kind of run itself within those bylaws. It'll be a little, it'll take some work passing the bill, and then it'll take some work setting those bylaws.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you go to Austin here in a couple of months? And they said, we'll approve this if you'll approve our building our new lake up here. Little hand back.
You know,
you know that kind of stuff happens. It's going to happen.
Yeah, this deal, the Marvin Nichols, which I know is probably people in this room crowing for and against it. You know, I come from, is the press in here? Or is it just us?
Is the press in here?
We don't have any press. We don't want
to. No,
that's another thing that he's talking about. We need to be done away.
It is being
recorded. I don't want to be.
It is recorded.
Oh, you know what? Yes, okay. So, I'm not going to say
we don't have any press.
I'm bad about kind of running off the mouth and kind of relaxed if I'm just with my people. But, you know, I don't like the fact that. A state water plan can come in and tell somebody, we're going to take your land. It's just wrong. It just goes against everything that we're for here, everything that we're about in Texas and America is private property rights. On the other hand, you're a growing state and those needs are coming. Mm-hmm. And the reality is they're going to come get it. And so we have to be vigilant. I think we have to resist it. We have to protect our property owners at all costs. When they do come to the point of running us over, we gotta make sure our people are as taken care of as they can. And so that's in the plan. It's something that's, I don't know that it's in the legislator's hand. We can file a bill and force them to change it, which we tried. Mm-hmm. And
they're gonna get it, so
they're good. Unless we come up with alternatives. That was the thing about Prop 4, was to try to find alternatives. Fixing leaky pipes, being more more smart on the conservation side, looking for other resources. And the longer we go here, the more technology develops. Desal is being looked at. And so who knows by the time they get ready to turn dirt out there in 40 or 50 years, who knows where we are. Maybe Oklahoma and Arkansas are selling this water. Maybe we're taking bracket water and we can turn it into drinking water pretty cheap. Right now it's about double to take fresh water, turn it into drinking water versus brackish water. It's about double to do that. And so those cities are going to get the easiest, cheapest water first. That's what they're going to grab first.
Yeah.
And then work their way out. And so it's just being a rural rep is a challenge You know, it's also a challenge. We're down there, man, we're punching them in the nose, we're trying to push back, and we've got people kicking us in the back because we're not tweeting about it enough or something. but I don't like the.
Oh, I know we got a couple. Jackie, yes. Jackie, I'll let you go first. Jackie, do you have something?
I'm speaking in behalf of a number of residents here that do have wells, mm-hmm. and the farmers also. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to voice my concern, and I'll use myself for an example. Our well furnishes six households.
Okay.
Plus the Alamo Mission Museum, plus the Cedar Garden Cemetery with water. So, okay. And the number of farmers here, dairymen and et cetera, depend on, well, all of us farmers depend on our water.
Mm-hmm. I'm on a well in my house.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to speak on behalf of the people that do have wells and let you know how concerned we are.
I appreciate that, and I understand your concern, and we should always be concerned when we're talking about creating another layer of government. So I think that's, you're wise to be concerned. I did talk to a commissioner from Hopkins County Saturday, and there is a situation there that was new to me, similar to what you're talking about, where it's a community well that's providing several folks, and so that's something I'm going to have to kind of see, because if it's providing individual homes and farmers, those are what we're trying to exempt out of this deal. And so, but I think his was like a community well, and so. Mm-hmm. It may just not be included in my bill without saying anything, but we may have to put some language in there that would protect special situations like that, because that's not the intent, is to mess with anything like that. To be honest with you, you're trying to keep the commercial developers from pumping 40, 50, 100 million gallons a year to the city. But you can't do that. You can't operate this thing with no fee. So you have to fee something, the money to operate it, so that you have the apparatus to protect us. That money has to come from somewhere. And so that's where the water companies and the commercial developers and the cities that are on wells came in. So we don't have those hybrids. I guess it's kind of like a hybrid kind of a community. It's not really it's not a district, it's not a company, it's not a city, but it is providing multiple people. I think yours would be exempt. His was even a little bit more complicated because it was like a
community well. I would be willing to go ahead and be included in the fee just to protect us all.
Right. And it's, like I say, the more people that are in it, the lower that fee needs to be to have the adequate number to have resources to fight the cities. And so it's still a little bit unknown because we don't know how many wells are out there. We don't know what's being produced right now. We can get a pretty good idea from those commercial cities, water districts, people like that. We can get a pretty good idea from them. But the individual like mine, I don't work anybody. So.
Mary, do you have something? This one, you're in the sister. She actually lives in Titus County.
Okay, yeah.
But she loves us more. So.
Well, hey, it's a good question over here.
Actually, I do have a question, and I don't know if I can get it all laid out, because it seems like it's so entwined. But you mentioned protect the resources. Mm-hmm. But in the private property, pro-industry environment, mm-hmm. is the group anything more than just charging for what's pulled out of the ground? And you talked about protecting it, but I haven't heard anything about it. You can't do that. But is that not the only thing that's going to protect it? Is to tell somebody you can't draw it out and have all that?
Right. So the groundwater conservation district would have to establish those rules, and then along the way, they're going to be studying the effects of production on the aquifer. And so they would have the authority to limit production if we started seeing negative effects on the aquifer. Yes. So they would be able to say, you know what? Because I just saw today on
social media. Shut the water off.
Ma'am.
So then what happens to Dallas or whoever when they shut the water down? I mean, it makes sense if we're not.
Well, right now they're not. Right now.
Not making lazy rivers and we're not wasting water the way we waste it. That would make a lot of sense.
Right, yeah. Kind of, yeah, I mean, they water their sidewalks up there, nothing probably can
the
problem.
More sense to look
I saw today on social media where there was a groundwater conservation district that was in the Edwards Aquifer that had rationed, they had cut water production back on their people in that GCD, and they were loosening those restrictions because of the rain they had in Central Texas. And so that water district would have the authority to rein things in, but it would only be on the people that are under it, because we're exempting the individuals and the farmers, because we don't want to mess with our chicken guys and our cows and people like that. So, but this is the only tool in the toolbox to regulate that would be a GCD.
Did I hear that in far west Texas, not in the Amarillo district, but lower down?
El Paso, maybe?
Are some of those places going dry?
Yes, they're Corpus Christi is in real bad shape. I mean, they're in dire. They're bad. Their lake that they get most of their water out of is like 10-15% capacity. El Paso, they get their water from desalinization. I don't know what they're paying for it. A whole lot more than we pay. But their whole city is run from a desal. They desal salt water. And so the technology's there. It's just expensive. And then if you put a desal plant at the coast, you got to pump that. You got to build these massive. When I say pipelines, I'm talking about a pipeline big as around this room. You drive a jeep down, and then you got to pump it. And then that discharge has got to go somewhere. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff you know, this lithium stuff they're talking about, and brackish water coming out of oil wells, you know, they pay tons of money to re-inject that water back into the ground. I'm like, well, what if they take that money and apply it to the cost of desal, and then, you know, so there's a lot of smart people looking at all the different avenues, and so people are a lot smarter than me.
How many of the previously named counties have completely signed on to the financial agreement with the sludge law?
Yeah, so the ones that have actually signed on are, I believe, Cass, Harrison, Wood, Smith, Camp, Upshur, Van Zandt, Morris, Titus, and Gregg.
How many were that?
10.
And so Marion has it on their agenda for August the 10th. Bowie County passed a resolution supporting the GCD. They're coming back to do the agreement. And then you guys, that would be 13. And then Raines likes it. They're kicking it around their county lawyer. There's a little bit of a discussion happening there. And then with Hopkins County, I talked to Judge Newsom, I've known him for years, and talked to Commissioner Price Saturday. And so they're getting more comfortable with it, so.
Let's talk about money. we don't know exactly what it'll be right now. When will the first payment expect, or when will this kind of hit?
So I don't know how the sledge firm is doing it. If he's just doing it, the way I understand it, it's just a monthly $1,200-$1,300 a month for that 12 months.
The way I read it, they're going to bill us monthly.
Yeah, I think that's right.
$1,216 and some change.
Okay.
And then there could possibly be more depending on, you know, what happens.
If so, like Gregg County, so he spelled it out that he'll charge that flat fee per month, and there's going to be months where he's working a lot, and there's going to be months where he's working less. And when the legislature starts, he's going to be working a lot. And but if the county wants him to drive out here and personally meet with us, there will be an additional charge for that type of thing, because it takes him out of it's 5 hours out here and 5 hours back. And so Gregg County wanted him to come to court and talk to the commissioner, so they paid him individually to drive out there, address their court, and drive back. Marion County, he's going to meet with them by Zoom. That's no charge, that's included.
No.
So Zoom meetings, phone calls, that type of stuff is included.
The only extra would be if there was an excessive amount of photocopying, legal research, things like that, there might be an additional cost. And that'll be prorated out between all the counties that are involved. But
and
other than that, $1,260.
That's probably a pretty slim possibility.
Yes.
Slim chance that happens.
Well, they just have that in there.
Yeah. So, and then getting the bill drafted will be him and us, everybody going, oh, what about this? And thinking of things like she's talking about, are they already exempted in the language that we're talking about, or do we have to put specific language?
So Jill hasn't been drafted at all yet?
No, sir.
Okay.
He may have some kind of a template. I would assume if I was him, I would take another GCD's template and go, I'm going to start here and start willing to making changes. I work with legislative counsel. They draft our bills. We have about 75 lawyers and some secret place. I don't know where they work in the Capitol, but we send them stuff and it takes forever for them to file, get our stuff drafted and back to us. But they're good. They're good at what they do, typically, most of the time.
So we'll be if we get into this, we'll be made available to us as the process goes along?
Yes, absolutely.
When there goes, there, oh, here it is.
We're going to be completely transparent and working our way as the process works. So it'll get everybody on board, start to do some research, then the drafting will begin. We'll file it. We can pre-file bills as early as November. I typically don't pre-file bills. I'm one of the top bill passers. I'm not bragging, but how early you pass the bill really doesn't affect how, you know, the likelihood of the bill passing necessarily. I'm not going to file it real early. For one thing, we're going to be working on it and getting it right. Secondly, I don't want the big cities to have something to shoot at any longer than I have to.
Exactly.
So I'm probably going to, wait to the bill filing deadline. I'm going to wait. Me and Sledge will be working on the best time. Cody Harris, okay, now let's go ahead and drop this thing and try to keep it off the radars. I don't want to be sneaky, but I do want to be strategic.
I know who all was there that day. You, Jay Dean,
Alders.
Alders, Daniel Alders. There were several.
So the only two that, when I first when I first started working on this, I invited 13 counties. And then I got to look at the map closer, and I added Van Zandt, Raines, and Hopkins. And so I had Brent Money there, because he's got Van Zandt, Hopkins. No, I did not have him at that meeting, because I didn't, but I talked to him later. And but the first meeting was a representative from Brian's office, and then it was Alders, J. Bean, Spencer, and me.
And then the state senator had his representative.
Yeah. And then when I talked to, when me and Brent went to Commissioner's Court week before last, and Hopkins, he said to the commissioners, we were sitting there together, and he said, you know, I was at first thinking Van Zandt County needed to do something. He said, but man, I really like this regional approach. It makes sense. And so Brent's fully on board. And I need to have a call with Shelley. She's got a big event today, and I haven't booked her. Me and her get along good. We work well together, so.
But you do.
We do.
So if one county doesn't sign in, is it
that? Don't mean I don't get fussed with them, but I get along with them.
So if one county doesn't sign in, it's pretty much, would y'all drop it or go on with it?
I'm confident everybody's going to come together. And right now, I'm just kind of letting everybody work through it, and hopefully everybody agrees to that. I'm not going to allow a donut hole out in the middle to mess it up. And so, it would just totally defeat the purpose.
Let's say they just didn't have the money, and didn't want to do the money, they could still sign something where we could control it.
I would just...
Kind of like the one we passed already?
I would just... They would just be in there.
Because you can draw us in without our, I mean, obviously.
You know, without us. I guess technically you could, but it would not, wouldn't be very politically
shady.
So that was one of the things I heard also, is that you have somebody that do it, that somebody wants to, the legislature can eventually draw you into it, that they want to.
We probably could. Right. But I've been a commissioner before,
right.
And as far as y'all in government, I'm understanding it, because I'm trying to blow smoke up y'all's dresses, but it really is, and so I appreciate what y'all do, and I would not want to. But if there was one county out in the middle of it that said, my God, we're not doing this, y'all can pay for it, I'm not going to allow one person to not allow our resources to be protected. But it's been, I've hit almost zero opposition. There's been some concerns, valid concerns, as there should be. And there's one individual over in another county that I'm not too concerned about, but this kind of tried to make a little noise, but, and it's based on bad information too, so I think it's going to be an issue.
Slade's law firm problem with him? There was one that spoke up against Slade's law firm, another. There was one that came up and said,
yeah, the Harrison County was a little bit concerned because of the Lake of the Pines issue.
Yes.
And you know, when you hire a lawyer like Sledge, that's been around the Capitol and working this issue for so long, those guys will work in different. He and I have worked on some stuff about the Northeast Texas Municipal Water District, and it was a little bit strained. And so, it's you know, you work for your people, and sometimes you got to butt heads, work through it. So.
Sure. I know we've kept you here a long time. I appreciate you coming up.
I appreciate you.
I call him.
Thank you.
I know the commissioners wanted to talk to you. They thank a lot of you.
Well, I appreciate that.
And here in about 4 years or 3 years, we'll get you a 5 for Brandon Franklin County and back to East Texas.
Maybe in 2031, we'll be drawing again.
That's right. Well, I'll be here then. So.
Me either.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Charlie. We appreciate it. All right. What's your pleasure, guys? Marla?
The only thing you guys need to think about is, if it does say in here, each participating county will designate its county judge or another authorized designee to serve as that county's rep on a joint committee.
But we can't do that, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is for the committee that's going to be working group.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The committee that's going to work on everything.
But you said on the actual board, it's got to be.
The actual system. Board can't be an elected official.
Yes.
This would be anybody. This would probably be good to be one of y'all.
Exactly.
Okay. So if you have somebody that's at the meetings and.
I think it's
somebody outside.
He knows all about water. He lives on the road.
I can move contingency money over and pay for it. It's going to be like, if it starts now, it'll be like $9,000.
Okay. Nice.
You will have to approve that, not today, but I will bring that back to you.
Okay. We just need to know whether we are going to
be a part of it and enter into the agreement.
Yeah, with Sledge Law Firm, which is basically what this is.
Exactly.
So I just need a motion if you want to do it. Send them on.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Now, we got one more candidate.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Anything else? Ricky, anything on the building or anything? Everything's falling apart over there? More collapsing plumbing? Marley got any money to build a new jail?
No. Marley going home.
I need to talk about this solar stuff.
Okay, yes, we do need. Landon was here and I asked him about it while ago.
Yeah. We had Zoom meetings. I've had meetings with them. They flew in from different parts of the states and rode the roads together. We talked about things. It was a very good meeting. I felt really positive about it. They promised all kinds of things and told me that things are going to be so much better. They left. They fixed an area that would have took our guys 15 minutes to do. Put up two signs, four columns. It was really a slap in the face. It was like an insult. They didn't even hardly do anything. I called back and talked to all those guys again. I said, man, that's not going to work. So a guy from Phoenix called, and I'm just going to repeat what he proposed to me. But he wants to go ahead and give the county $415,000 of that road use agreement. But he said, I said, well, what about the other half? And he said, there was never $1 million. It was just a bond for $1 million. And they want to be done with the deal. They want to just let the county handle it. I was not in agreement with that, but I didn't want to talk to you all about that because I think, I don't know what the right answer is. They said they've already spent $12,000. If they spent $12,000 out there, then it's going to cost $22 million for them to fix their road. So, I mean, it was nothing. It's a joke. And so I don't know what the right answer is. They're not going to do anything.
I talked to Landon about this morning. He might want to get a hold of him and tell him we're fixing to go a different direction. If we can. I know that that one road, they just completely destroyed it.
Oh, it's 1090.
If they wanted to use their road to take it, well, why didn't you build a sneaking thing over there?
No, $455 when he built
no, that road. No, and I've got videos of trucks in and out. It's a bad situation. I've got an idea of what I want to do next week, but
give us Landon and see what we can do, what our legal options are in front of us. Yeah, it's bad out there. It's bad. And,
But I get phone calls every day. I don't blame people being upset because it makes me look really bad. But I have no idea what I've done trying to make things happen. But they get the good old boy said, oh, my God, what are they going to do, Greg Thames? Nothing.
It would be
so bad they wouldn't use roads, but so they tell me that, and then they just can't go on. I mean, I have semis after semis after semis after semis, and they can't even spread a little dirt. They had some guys in a flatbed truck on some.
And I had to apologize because I thought one way, and I was wrong on it. So I thought you could fix it, and then we charge them, and they pay us.
I don't know what's going to wind up happening, but I think we fight the battle.
Yeah.
If they're going to charge, if this McCarthy's going to charge them $12,000 to do that, I mean, really, they're going to go through that. If it's $500,000 or $1 million, they're going to go through that money so fast that there will not be any money to fix that road because they're just going to drain that pot so fast.
But if they do fix it, you've got to prove that it's been fixed. And if they know what they're doing, they're not fixing the road. They're not even putting a good mandate on.
I thought they were supposed to maintain it. Plus
that's,
the bond.
That's what I'm coming on.
At the end.
Yes.
That's what the maintenance, whether it's
exactly what it said. That's what I'm presenting. I thought that was the way it's explained to me.
They were going to maintain it. Yeah. More or less, you go take a motor grader over in a week. Everybody thought they were going to get their roads fixed. it was.
I never expected them to be fixed.
No, I'm just telling you, there were folks that did. That they're going to come in and fix our roads because our roads are terrible. They're going to fix it. It's not going to happen. They're going to keep them where you can pick your passable until the whole thing's over and done. Mm-hmm. Then they'll come in and pay for it to have it redone.
Yeah. We'll just get it planned. Let's start there and we'll see what we can do and then we'll go forward. Anybody else?
The draft, the main delta. Burn the button. Perfect.
Motion Newsom getting used to more equipment.
David, thanks for coming.
I'm trying to figure out why I'm going to bring it. Just like you have a heads up on that bill when y'all get it.
Every quarter bill.
Last time for this.
Those dollars.
I'm
sorry.
Yes.
I moved that nerd.
Thank
you. I'll say it. All
folks out. What you guys said, we got college with the table. We all